Today's daf in Masechet Bechorot, brought to you on the road, is daf Nun Vav, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Nun He Amud Beit at the bottom. Continuing on with what exactly defines the animals that are able to be mitztarif, or that bechoral chayev in maaser behima, which is very similar to bechor, in which case that Masechta deals with them together. The Mishnah continues on to say that it should say halakuach. Was referring here to the status of the animal, not to the act of the person who got the animal. So alakuach, an animal that had been purchased, or an animal that had been given as a gift, or shenitan lo b'matana, patur mimaser behima. Such an animal is not considered to be part of those that are chayiv, so even if he has 10 animals, 9 of which are his own, and 1 of which was given to him as a gift, that 10th animal is not b'chayiv all of them, and cannot be nichnas l'dirli taser, just like animals that had grown in different countries, or on either side of the Yarden, even when they're brought together into the small area where we let them out, as we'll see later, one at a time, they're not able to be put into the same area. Asks the Gemara, Minanimili, how do we know that something that had been purchased or that was given as a gift is not chayav maaser behema? Omer of Gehana, the Omer Kor Bechor Banecha Titenli, Ken Taaseh L'Shorecha L'Tzonecha. So what it's saying is that in the same way that you give your own child that is a Bechor to me, so too should you give the Bechor of your kosher animal, Shor V'Tzon. In which case, it's comparing the two. So this is a hekesh. Ma bechor banecha. Just like over there, to have a son has to be your biological son. You're not chayev in a son that you bought. You can't have a lakuach, can't have a matana that would be a bechor. It has to truly be a bechor. Af tzonecha uvikorecha ino belakochu b'matana. So one of the issues of the hekesh is that it should be non-lakuach and non-matana. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute, are we talking about Bechor or are we talking about Maaser? We asked how it is that Maaser, that's Lakuach, is not Chayav in Maaser Behema. But this Pasuk, V'hai B'Bechor Ktiv, this Pasuk isn't written about Maaser, it's Bechor Banecha that it's referring to. Omar Kro answers the Gemara, since the Pasuk says, Kein ta'aseh l'shorecha l'tzonecha, im eino ini l'bechor t'lo ite ba'asiyah, when it says, so too shall you do. Do what? Do what? By Bechor, you could talk about Bechor Banecha. You could say, you have to be paid at Bechor Banecha. Kein ta'aseh what? I don't make it Kodesh. It's automatically Kodesh. I can't be Poda it. I can't say pay a pidyon. So what does Kein ta'aseh mean? The only thing it can be referring to has got to be the only thing that's left. Imenu inyan lebechor dolo ite ba'asiyah. There is nothing to do when it comes to Bechor Behima. Because after all, Berechem Kodosh, I mean, without doing anything with the asiyah, so then the kein ta'aseh has got to be what? It's got to be tneu inyan l'maaser behima. Must be that it's saying that so too, the thing that you do something with, which is to create the maaser, over there you have to take it into the deer and take out the maaser. That should also be the equivalent of Bechor Banecha, which gets like Bechor Banecha is considered to be only truly biologically yours. Here too it has to be truly biologically your son. Says the Gemara, well, how do you know that it means taz tneu l'maaser? Maybe it means tneu l'inyan, let's say, chatat ve'asham, that you don't bring a chatat and an asham unless it was part of your flock. Maybe that's what it means. You can't go out and buy an animal to bring a chatat v'asham, which is very reasonable. I mean, we're not used to thinking of things that way. But the truth is, if an animal is supposed to be taking your place, so to speak, as a kapara, so how are you going to go out and buy one? I mean, if it's yours, you're giving something of your own. So why not say that it means that? No, because, I mean, look, it has to make sense in the pasuk, right? I mean, it has to be dumya de bincha. It's making a comparison of some other item to Bechor Banech. Well, are you going to tell me that other item is chatas and asham? I mean, does a Bechor, does Banech have anything to do with chait? So just like Bechor, pidyon haben, is eino ba'al chait, that has nothing to do with sin. Av tzonecha v'shorecha she'eno ba'al chet. Therefore, can't be referring to chatat v'nerasha. Okay, fine. Not chatat v'asha. Maybe means you want to bring a korban ha'ilah. You want to bring a korban shalom, and you can't buy it. No, there too has to be dumi rabincha. You cannot have a case where a ben is a neder, an adava. It's a chova. If it's your ben, it's a chova. If it's not your ben, you can't make an adava out of it. So av tzonecha v'shorecha is talking about something that is not a korban. So what is it? Well, you can't think of another thing that's not Baal Chet, but which is not just a non-chova, it's a nedava. How about Olat Re'iya? Olat Re'iya is not Baal Chet, but it's Dumya, but Pidin HaBen. It's not Baal Chet, but it's still a Chiyav. You come into the Beit HaMikdash, you have to come with a korban when you come up for the Chagim. And says the Gemara, because since this halacha is being learned in the Hekesh, B'chor B'mecha, you have to have something that is Dumya Lebincha. It has to be similar to Pidyon HaBen. Just like Pidyon HaBen. Your Ben has nothing to do with any Chiyuv of Zman. It's not a Moed issue. So just like Bincha, Ein Kavua L'Zman, Av Shorcha V'Tzonecha, She'en Kavua L'Zman. Here too it has to be something which has no Kviyut in time, and Olat Ria is Kavua for the Moed. Yes, the Gemara, if we're learning it out from Bechor Banecha, so why don't we go all the way and make a Hekesh like this? So then, Ima Bincha, Eino Belakuach Klal, why don't we say that a Ben is not just that it happens to be you didn't buy it. A Ben is something that you can't buy. Either it's yours biologically or it isn't. So the same thing should be true about Shorecha Vitzonecha, cannot be something that is Shayach to being bought. And then why then did Rav Asi quote Rav Yochanan saying, Aloma Am Rav Asi Am Rav Yochanan, that if somebody buys Asara Ubarin Bime'e Iman, suppose a person purchases unborn fetuses, so that at the time that he buys them, they're not yet called behemot to be ro'i l'maser behema. So when he gets all 10 of them, they're his, and they're all nichlasim l'dir l'yitaser. They are all considered to be, as if since at the moment they were born as his animals, they're considered to be his. That wouldn't be true about a bechor. If you bought someone's fetus, it doesn't become your ben. So over here, it shouldn't be your animal. So we should say it's not shy of such a thing. So apparently, we don't really apply this pasuk of the comparison to bincha. We don't apply it consistently, at least the way Rabbi Yochanan is quoted over here. Amar Rava. Rava answered. I'll tell you why. Because what it says over here is Amar Kra King Ta'aseh B'Shorecha L'Tzonecha. That means it has to be defined by B'Sha'at Asiya. It's talking about from the time that you can do something. During the period in which it's a fetus, there's absolutely nothing that you could do if you wanted to do. And therefore, it doesn't register as being an important moment in the definition of the halacha of the chiyuv. It could only be from the Sha'at Leida. At that point, it is Shayach to be Ma'aser. Tosis points out it doesn't mean literally from the Sha'at Leida, because it would still be Mechusar Zman. It has to be Miyom HaShemini V'Hala. So it could be that there's also, of course, a Shita. There's Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Shita holds that even a Mechusar Zman is Nichnas Dir Leitaser, as we saw. Okay, but in any event, either literally or not precisely, but that means mieta katuv, it's only from the time of Asiya that the Torah is excluding the lakuach. But a lakuach b'me'iman, which is not a time in which there's Asiya, is not part of the mieta of the pasuk. Gufa, Amr Basi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Let's take a closer look at the halach we just quoted in Rabbi Yochanan's name. Lakach asara ubarim b'me'iman kulam nifasim ladir liyitas. Asks the Gemara, I thought that we said in our Mishnah, V'ha anantnan, halakuach o shnitan lo matana, potur min maaser behima. So how do you explain this contradiction? Omar, Rabbi Elazar, I'll tell you. Rabbi Yochanan chazoi bechalma, a guy had a dream in which I saw Rabbi Yochanan. That is always a sign that milta ma'alya amina. I am clearly going to say a really good pshat today in explaining Rabbi Yochanan. This is something that Rabbi Elazar said we just had fairly recently, a few times, this ma'amar. We had it before here even, in Bechorot. In each one of these cases, it was a applied to a case where he was trying to say something about Rabbi Yochanan. So, in which case, it would appear that the union is that he held that if Rabbi Yochanan appeared to him in a dream, it was a siman that he was going to be zochet to some extra help from Rabbi Yochanan's giving him some energy to be metaritz, the words of Rabbi Yochanan, Bahai Alma. So, what I say is that it's Omar Krah. I suggest that we learn from the Pasuk Chen Ta'aseh that the Lakoch is Potter is Dafka B'Sha'at Asiyah, where you could still do, which means that it's only from the Sha'at Halida, not from the Sha'at that was conceived, and only there Mieta Katuv, that it's not supposed to be a Lakoch. And therefore, the Mishnah is not a problem, because Kona B'mei Imai, as opposed to being Kona after it was already Yotzel Avira Ila, Kona B'mei Imai is not Memu'at from this Pasuk. It's not Sha'at Asiyah. Eitvei Rabbi Shimon Ben Ad Yakim, the Rabbi El Azar. We learned in the Braita that halakuah, this din, which something which is bought, is potter from Maisa Behema, that shame, that category of lakuach, is also chal al mechusar's mat. So if somebody buys a Behema when it's within 7 days of the birth, it remains patur mima'aser. Now, how do you explain that? Is it not true that bituch, the first 7 days, you would not be able to take off maaser anyway? In which case, according to your explanation, there should be no miut, because it's not shat asiyah of lakua. Omar lei, so Rabbi Elazar answered, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim, this braita is a not mishnah. It is not considered to be a reliable braita to ask from it, because it wasn't one of those that went through the peer review and the selection of braita that we have by Rabbi Yosha. V'im timtzal omar mishnah, if you want to insist that it is actually correct, then clearly it is Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Yimishon Rabbi Shimon. It must be going Aliva, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, the Omar, because his man nichnasa dirli taser, as we mentioned earlier. He holds that that is considered to be Sha'at Asiyah, and it's no different than a Bechor, because a Bechor, by definition, is a Bechor that is defined with its Kedusha from the moment that it's Poter Rechem. That's later. But you can't bring it as a Bechor when it's Poter Rechem, because it's because it's man. So even though it's Kodesh of Nezmano, it's Korev Leachas Mano. So to Meiser Behema, even though it's because it's man, it's considered to be Sha'at Asiyah, and would be Kodesh of Nezmano, and currently Achaz Manai. Tani Tana, one of the Tanoim, said in front of Rav, a Braita that said as follows, Ezeu etnan shenichnas l'dir l'itaser. Where do we find a case of an etnan zona, that is the price paid to hire a whore, that is, and we're going to see a little bit later on in the Masechta, that is able to be part of the deer, the 10 animals in the deer, to take Meiser off. Dafka kosher not nula, v'chazar l'kachohimen, where he had paid off this prostitute, and then he buys it back from her. But if it's still in the reshus of the zona, then it's not allowed, not considered to be roi for the mizbeach, and because of that, it's not shayach to being nichnas sedir l'itaser zachai v'mais. Ask the Gemara, but why? If it was purchased back, if so, the moment that he buys it back, so he was already potter in the first place because it wasn't roi for the mizbeach because of esman. But when he buys it back, it's potso anyway because it's a lakuach. He said that a lakuach is not brought into the deal itaser. Answers the Gemara, this problem that he has is ishtamitete. He apparently only asked this question because he forgot a very important point. And that is the case of Rabbi Asiyah and Rabbi Yochanan, that if somebody purchases lokach asra ubarim b'me'ei iman, kulam dechlasim l'dir l'yitaser, that if he had a case where he purchased all 10, then he would be able to be machnis l'dir l'yitaser. So if he had known that, and it wouldn't be ishtamitate, if he hadn't forgotten about that, he could easily have answered this. He would have said that where is etnan nichlas to be mitaser when he gave the harlot the seh while it was still be meima. And then he buys it back while it's still be meima. And then it's born. In such a case, ein hachinami. There's no question that it would be okay because it's not considered to be sha'at asiyah at all. Right. Ask the Gemara, V'te'asrei, why can't you take off Meiser from it? Why only in a case, why can't, what do you say, only in a case we bought it back? Why can't the Zonah herself use it, to at least to be Nichnas Ladir? And it says, Gemara Bezonit Kutit, talking about where she's not Jewish. Well, that is no Chiyav Maaser Beima. Why do you need to do that? Why don't you just say, V'lukma Bezona Yisraeli? Let's talk about a normal case, where the guy didn't go to a Goyish whore, went to a fine Jewish whore. And Te'asra Ihi, and let her be going ahead. I mean, you made up a whole case. Why did you have to make up a whole case? Well, because where would there be a case where Esther and Zaina would be Nichlas Dilita, sir? Must be he bought it back. I understand. A typical case. A woman wanted to use an Etnan Zona, and as part of a flock, took off Maser, and wants to put her Etnan Zona into the deer. Why do we need a fancy case? Kamashmala. Therefore, this braitha that insists that we're talking about a Zonah, who is a Goya, is coming to teach us that a Zonah Yisraelit, lo havi etnan at all, that it's not considered to be an etnan, where you pay someone for sex. That's not the issue. That's not called a Zonah. It's only in a case where there is an Isser that's involved, an Isser Karei that's involved. That would be an etnan. Get out by it. The Omar Abaye Zona Kutit Etnana Asur. So if the whore is non-Jewish, so then that is called an Etnan Zona. You're not allowed to be makriv it on the Mizbeah. And a Kohen who would sleep with such a woman, Kohen Abo Alea, is not Loke Mishum Lo Yechalel Zaro, because any children that he would have, as we'll see later, it's not an Indian of Chalalut, they're not Jewish. But a Zona Yisraelit, it's Nana, whatever was given to her for her price, is actually Mutar Lakrov. And a Kohen Abo Alea is actually Loke Mishum Lo Yechalel Zaro. What's the reasoning behind this? Now the Gemara explains the reasoning of Abai. Zonah kutit etnana asur. Only if she's non-Jewish do we asur etnan. Why is that? Because gomar toeva toeva me'arayot. We learn out the lashon in the pasuk, which is lotavi etnan zonah ki toavat Hashem Elokecha. And we learn that out from the pasuk that compares din of toeva in arayot, which Davka talking about toeva. Something that is a chiyav karet, at least. Therefore, only those things are considered to be the zonah that we're referring to. Otherwise, it's not a toeva. So, ma arayot, we're talking about the type of arayot lo tafsi ba kiddushin, where it's impossible to make it correct by giving a kiddushin. So, av zonah. And that's at least an Isser Karet, unless you hold according to Man Yomar, that's in Kiddushin Chalak Al Chai Ve'lavi. But the normative halach is that it has to be an Isser Karet. So Av Zonah, the same thing would be true of the Zonah in terms of Isser, is only Ne'asar Bahach Lo Tafsi Be'Kiddushin. So it has to be a true Zonah where it wouldn't be Shayach that this could be a licit relationship. When Abaye said that Kohina Ba'alea, the reason for that is, but if this woman would not even be Jewish, it isn't Zaro at all. If it's from a Goya, then the Zera is not considered to be Jewish, and the Vladot are not his Zera at all. Before we begin the next Halakha Mishnah, let's just point out, and this is a sugya we've had many times before in other contexts, let's point out that there are two separate halachas that can be used to indicate the status of a relationship, whether it's a relationship of brothers in an estate, or a relationship of brothers that happen to be partners, and it might as well be somebody else. And that is, Maaser Behemah is very useful for this, because the din is that Maaser Behemah, as we're going to see in the Gemara, is potur for partnerships. It's only a chiyuv on individual ownership. We learn that out from a pasuk. On the other hand, we have a curious situation when it comes to the din of machatzit shekel, where, of course, midiraita, a person gives a machatzit shekel, and that's it. Except that the Chachomim made a takona to be mosif, a small small amount of money, which is called a kalabon, and there's a machloket in Shkalim what the reason is for that kalabon. It's machloket Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about how much it is. Is it a ma'ah or is it just a chatzi ma'ah? And the question over there also that's nogea this is whether two people who would pay a shekel together, how much do they pay? So according to Chachamim, they pay one kalabon between them. According to Rabbi Meir, each one of them has to pay a kalabon. Now it appears that the basis of that machloket, according to the Gemara, is in understanding what is the basis of a kalabon. The Chachamim hold that the point of a kalabon, in which case this, here you only have to pay one kalabon for the two, the point of the kalabon is for the exchange rate. So in other words, the machatzita shekel historically was not a very common coin. As a matter of fact, after the Romans closed the mint in Tsur as a political move, because all of the, remember before we had all the mana was a mana tsuri, all the matbeas was a mana tsuri, which is the mana of the mint in Tsur. And that was the international currency of the time, but it was, as far as the Romans were concerned, an undermining of the Roman supremacy. Because of that, they actually closed it. And it was, those were beautiful coins, very, very beautifully designed coins, and well minted. Because of the need for the machzita shekel, which wasn't being coined at all in an equivalent Roman coin, they allowed, it's really strange, they had the old Jewish lobby in those days too, they allowed the mint in Tsur to mint poor quality machzita shekel coins, which looked like typical Jewish stuff, which were horribly made, and so on. And they had actually a little code that gave them a special legal validity, even though they were made in Tsur. It was by the right of the government, you know. So because they weren't found, they used to allow a bank charge to be added, because the banks, which in those days was called a shulchani, which that's what the word bank means, a bankel, it's like a bench, where somebody would sit down and he would put out coins and he would charge for, you bring him a shekel, you want 2 shekels, here's your 2 shekels, but you pay for the bank charge of the exchange for you. So therefore, that shulchani would take bischar a kalabon. You give me a shekel, I'll give you back the two machzita shekel, but you got to pay a kalabon. According to that, if two people go and bring 1 shekel, they only pay 1 kalabon, because basically that would be the charge for anybody who's trying to make 1 shekel into 2 machzita shekel. So these guys are getting away with murder, because they don't bother bringing 2 machzita shekel; they just brought 1 shekel. But since everybody else would have to pay, and this shulchani is now going to have to make it into 2 machzita shekel in order to keep the record straight for paying the Beit HaMikdash. So they have to pay the charge. That's one approach. And since everybody's mechuyev to bring a machzita shekel, so they pay that amount. But if somebody's actually bringing a matbea of a machzita shekel, then he's not chayiv in a kalabon or a kachonim at all, because he's bringing his own. It's as if he already paid for the. There's only 1 kalabon, therefore, for each full shekel. According to Rabbi Meir, the reason for paying a kalabon is because we're always afraid that the coin is not a full weight coin. So that's called the hechreya. What if you're using a coin that the silver content is lower because it's gotten shachuk, it's gotten rubbed down? Because of that, each person who brings a machzita shekel brings a little bit extra. And a little bit extra is the kalabon to pay for the loss of silver to the Beit HaMikdash. So because of that, if two people, even if they're bringing a shekel shalim, everybody brings a kalabon, because there's a hechreya for the value of each machzita shekel. So the question over here is, what does it mean? We're going to talk about potter mikalabon or chayav mikalabon. Depending on what pshat we have, it means potter from the extra kalabon or potter from any kalabon, or chayav from the extra kalabon or chayav in the kalabon. And why is that? Because in a case where a parent pays for a son, in that case, the Chachamim were not mechayev you to pay for the machzita shekel or kalabon, but even those who would hold, you would bring 2, would be made it over here, you would bring 1. And that would be one approach. The other approach is that there's no chiyuv of a kalabon at all where a parent is paying, because where somebody else is paying for others, and it's a derech that a father pays for his son, or in this case, the estate that is still the father's paying for his son, so they weren't mechayiv. if an individual is paying for someone else, to also have to add the kalabah, ad kedekah. So that's exactly how to be mefarish the Mishnah. In some places Rashi is mefarish one way, in some places mefarish the other way. And it contextually depends if we go like Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim, where we understand the p'tur of the paying from the tefusat abaya to be a complete p'tur, or p'tur from the extra one. That already is not very much our business here, because we're not learning shkolim. We're only trying to contrast the din of the kalabon to the din of maaser behima. And therefore, what we need to discuss is whether the estate is still whole. If the estate is whole, so then it's the estate that's paying. It's as if it's coming from the father. And if the estate is paying, then also it's as if there's one owner, because the owner is the father, so to speak, the estate. And therefore, it's not a shutafut, and therefore there's a chiyuv of maaser behima, but there's a p'tur and a kalabon. If they split, and then they get back together again for initially they make a partnership, then obviously they're like any other partnership. There's no magic just because they happen to be brothers. And because of that, they're like two strangers that are bringing one, matbea, and therefore they have that chiyuv of the kalabon, either each or between them. That depends on the machloket. And because of that, they're also potter from maaser behima. Therefore, says the Mishnah, Achim, that were Yoresh and are Shutafim in the Yerusha. So as so long as their Shutafut does not have a din of Yerusha, and therefore Shechayavim Bekalabon, they, if paying together, let's say there's two of them, they give a shekel, and they have to pay the Kalabon, which is the additional value that is given for the price of the exchange of a shekel for a machtzita shekel, essentially a banking charge. So if they have a din of Yorshim, and they're potter from the Kalamon, but if they have a din of the Yerusha, so then they're considered to be one estate, one person. So if they're chayavim b'kalabon, then they're peturim mima'aser behima, because since in this case they are not yorshim, they are instead shutafim, when they pay a full selah, a full shekel, which we call today the selah, as we saw before, the selah, they give it b'shutafut, to be mekayim machzit shekel, they're like two unrelated people. And therefore, they have to pay the additional kalabon, because they're getting away with paying one shekel instead of paying the exchange rate for two separate matzita shekel. And because of that, they are like all other shutafim. And shutafim are, as we're going to see, patur for maaser behima. We're going to learn that out in the behima, in the Gemara. On the other hand, chayavim the maaser behima, which would mean that the shutafut is not a legal partnership, it's an estate. So that means that they are still considered to be yorshim, in which case they're all one rishut. But in that case, if they're chayav maaser behima, then by definition they are part because then it's as if a parent, in this case the estate, the parent, physical parent is deceased, but the parent is paying the machzit shekel for them. And there the din is, if you're paying for someone, you're paying for your child, in that case you don't pay the kalabon. Now the Mishnah explains, when is this? Kunu mitfisat habayit. Let's say they were yoresh, a flock of animals, and those animals are still betfusat habayit, meaning that there has not been a chalukah of the ownership of the family, so in which case they remain undefined, which part is mine and which part is yours, so their partnership is throughout, but that means that they're still yorshim. Then they're chayev b'maser b'ma, and they're potem in a kalabon b'im lav. If it's not because tfusat habayit, it's because they split and they've gotten together, then they're potter from maaser behima, and they're chayav b'kalabon. So if, let us say, to be clear 100% that they're shutafim, it's talking about that they stam are shutafim, not that they bought as yorshim. So let's say choku. So now we're going to assume that the case would be true even if they had a Yerusha. They're chaylik the Yerusha. So whatever their status is after having been chaylik the Yerusha, whether each one is a yerusha, whether each one is a lakuach, if they're chayzer v'nishtatfu, and now they have a new partnership, which is not a partnership enforced upon them by the Yerusha, but rather a partnership that they create between them after having separated out the Yerusha, at that point, they are like any other partnership, chayev b'kalabon, and patur mimaser b'ima. Okay, so we see, says the Gemara, we see in our Mishnah that shutafut, if it's not Yerusha, is considered to be potter from ma'aser. How do we know this? Tana Rabbanan. When it says in the pasuk v'chol peter sheger beima asher yiyelecha hazacharim la'ashem, that word yiyelecha is mash v'lashon yachid. It has to be yours. Clearly, well defined which part is yours. V'lo shel shutafut yachol afilu kanu b'tvisat abayin. You might think that this would be true even if they were yoresh through the tvisat abayin, through an estate. They weren't chelik the nechasim. Talmud lomar yiyeh. That adds a shutafut that it exists because of the reality of Yerusha rather than because of some type of transaction. That's the Gemara. That pasuk has nothing to do with Maaser Behemah. That pasuk is a pasuk about a Bechor. V'hai b'Bechor k'tiv. Answers the Gemara, well, it can't be referring literally to a Bechor. Im eno inyan le'Bechor, because Bechor the Torah goes out of its way to be m'chayev shutafim in Bechor, by saying, do'ita b'shutafut is definitely a chiv of shutafim, d'chtiv uvchorot b'karchem v'tzonechem, which is Lashem Rabim, tzneu inyan l'Maaser Behemah. So learn, therefore, that the pasuk is referring to Maaser Behemah. Omre b'Yirmiya pa'amim shechayavim b'zeh u'b'zeh. It is possible for brothers to be chayav in both, and pa'amim shepeturim b'zeh u'b'zeh. Sometimes they're potter both from the kalabon and from Maaser Behemah. Pa'amim shechayavim b'kalabon u'peturim m'maaser behemah, u'pa'amim shechayavim b'maaser behemah u'peturim min ha'kalabon, as is the case in the Mishnah. Now let me explain my words. When I say that there are times where they're chayavim b'zeh u'b'zeh, you know what that's talking about? It's talking about where they're choku, they split the Yerusha b'ksafim. So there, they had a certain amount of money in a bank account or an insurance policy, and then they were mishtatef in the money, but they never split the animals to say, okay, this animal is yours, this animal is mine. So that means that the portions that were the actual items, the chattel, or the cattle in this case, that was inherited, is still tvusat abayit. So therefore, they're chayiv in a kalabon because monetarily, they're like any other shutafim, but they're also chayiv in maaser behemah, because they're not shutafim, they're yorshim, because they never split that part. And this is a reasonably common occurrence. In other words, it's easy to split money. You know, there's an insurance policy for $1 million. Each brother takes $500,000. But when you start analyzing which animal is worth what, so that they left, and they said, oh, you know what, let's just keep the herd the way Dad had the herd. Now, in that case, they would indeed be chayim in both. So that would be chayavim zemezah. Now there's also a case that I mentioned where they would be potter from both. That's a less common case where they were chelek b'beima, so they each one wanted to have their own farm, but they kept the money in a single bank account and didn't split it, and it's still under the name of the estate. So lo choku b'ksafim, and therefore that's still tfusat abay. So mamela, they're potter from the maaser b'beima if they now reconstituted a partnership in the behemoth, so they're not yorshim anymore. But when they use the joint bank account, and then they're potter from the kalabon, because then they are yorshim. There's also the case where they're chayav b'kalabon and potter b'maaser behemah is when they split everything. So over there, that's exactly the case where being a shutaf is pattering you from maaser behemah, but being mechayav in the kalabon, and vice versa, they could be chayav b'maaser behemah upturim in the kalabon. That was that they didn't do anything; they left both the animals and the money in the original state. Says the Gemara, what exactly does Rabbi Yirmiya think he added with this information? This is childishly simple. It's a trivial thing. All he did was analyze what the Mishnah said, which is the simple interrelationship between the din of shutafut and Yerusha. Why do you have to spell it out to me like I'm a 2-year-old? Pshita. Should it tfusat abayit is part from kalabon, chayev and maaser behemah, shutafut is part from maaser behemah, chayev and kalabon. You can't make it more simple than that. I'll tell you, there is a chiddush. And that is that in the case where they split the animals, but they don't split the money, there Rabbi Yirmiya has to tell you that they are potter from both. Because I myself would have said that is a case which is a little bit weird. Obviously, what's really happening over here, if he hadn't said it, Salka Daita Ramina, I would have said, look, if they already went to the tircha of splitting the animals, that's a serious job. So you need to get in assessors, and they need to agree on any particular individual interest that they might have in a particular animal. So then they were already golud atayo. They've already committed themselves to splitting, right? The lamiflake kaime. All that happened is they haven't gotten around maybe to opening up a bank account. But in that case, they should really be considered separate people, and they should be chayiv and kalabon, because it would be a function of the way in which they view the estate, not the legalities of the estate. Kamashmo, and therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah wants you to know that even in that more unusual case where we don't believe it's going to go on very long, why would they keep it all in one bank account? Doesn't matter. So long as it hasn't been split, bottom line is, the legal definition is that the money remains to the satabai. Omer Rav Hanan, you should know that our Mishnah is only, Loshanu, when did the Mishnah say that if they made a chaluk of the Yerusha, and then they went back and they formed a partnership between them that handles the same Yerusha, that in that case, the Tfusat Abayit is canceled, and even though nothing has changed, in a sense, they've changed the name from the estate of dad and sons into Sons Incorporated, that's all. But it's still the same thing. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is saying that it's considered to be a bittul of the Tfusat Abayit and a new partnership. That's only in a case where they were Chalku Gidiyim Keneged Tiyashim or Tiyashim Keneged Gidiyim. So what happened over there is, let's say each one took a different thing. So let's say one of them takes Yedin and the other one takes Tayash. One of them likes to raise the younger animal, the other one wants to sell the animals that are already fully grown and so on. Or one of them likes to have goats, one of them likes to have sheep. Okay, so over there it's each one bought out the other one's part in whatever they would have had in the other type of thing. So at that point, when they remake a shutafut, it has nothing to do with the original Yerusha. That's clear. But if they literally kept everything the same, they just gave a number, you know, so here we've got 20 gediim, so, okay, you'll take 1 to 10, and I'll take 11 to 20. And they have 20 tiashim, I'll take, again, these, and you take those. So each one in that case can say that Omer Zecha Koam Egiyo Mishar Rishon Halakha, each one will say that this part, and this of course is dependent on the question that we've had so many times before, of Breira. So each one says that it's clear that this is what was always mine in the Tfusat Abayin. Therefore, when they put it back together again, they put it back together the way it was. Nothing changed, because there's still Yerushim. So that means that the Mishnah is really dependent on how we view the Chalukah. Whereas Rav Nachman says, Afilu chalku gidayim keneged gidayim, tiyashim keneged tiyashim, ein omrim zehu chalko amagiyo misha arishon alakach, because of ein brera. A question we've talked about many times in different contexts. What is the difference? How it is you split it up? Bottom line is, you're always buying out the other person's right to the molecules that were in your particular gedi. Why does it have to be one type of animal versus another type of animal? That's not the point. Point is, it's one unit, can I get another unit? And when you get it down to the molecular level, it's exactly the same. Each one has to buy out the other one's molecules. But why is that? Because ein brera, we never say zechal ko amagio misha rishon alaka. There's also another machloket, whereas Rabbi Elazar Amar, Lo Shanu, when does the Mishnah say that if they made a chaluk in the Yerusha and they reconstituted it as a partnership, is dafka ela shechalku tish'a keneged asara, v'asara keneged tish'a? There, you have to analyze the individual animal. So in other words, let's say one of them takes 9 animals, and the other one takes 10 animals. So why is that? It's unfair. Obviously, they didn't do it because it's unfair. They did it because they analyzed the different values of the different animals and to make up. So one took 9 higher quality animals, the other one took 10 lower quality animals. So there, you can't say, this is my chelek hamagiyo mishron halakach, because over there, certainly, each one had the half of the more high quality, and each one had half of the lower quality. But if each one had the same number, that does not cancel the original Tfusat Abayit, because we could then say, Omer, Zechoko Amegiyo Misha Rishon Alakach, and therefore, it was all predestined, that this part is mine and that part is yours. And therefore, the Yerusha is exactly what it was. You put it back together, it's just reconstituted. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu chalku tisha keneged tisha, v'asara keneged hasara, inu mezecho ko amegiyo misha rishon alakach. Again, as we saw earlier, because ein breira, and therefore, if they're nishtatef, they're considered to be like any other shutafut. They have no connection one to another. And this is Rabbi Yochanan, as we saw, l'taime. The Omer Rabami, Omer Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, ha'achim shechoku l'kuchotein. This is exactly the sugya that we spoke about before. What is the din when it comes to Yovel? So Rabbi Yochanan was quoted that once they have split a Yerusha, they are like any other lekuchot, because they had to exchange each part of each molecule for what the other one had. So they bought each other out. If they bought each other out, then when Yovel comes, they're like any other buyer, and they have to return, each one returns the chelik that he had, and they're going to have to resplit when it comes to Yovel, like any other purchase. And therefore, it's clear that he holds Ein Breira, because if you hold Yesh Breira, and we would really believe that it was predestined, that what was originally dad's is mine, the way we split it, and that was written in the stars, so to speak, so then it's Yerusha. You don't split. The Torah only said that you split things that are purchased, but this wasn't purchased, this was inherited. And the truth is that we need both indications that Rabbi Yochanan is saying Ein Breira, because apparently it's repetitive. I mean, if Rabbi Yochanan made his statement about Yovel, so then it follows by definition that that's the way he would understand the case in the Mishnah. Not true. Terrific. Rabbi Yochanan needed to explain to us on both levels that Ein Breira, because let's say he would only have said it in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. That once they split the Yerusha, they put it back together, they're putter, no matter how it is that they split the Yerusha. Why? Because they're like any other lekuchot. I would have said that it could be Rabbi Yochanan holds Yesh Breira. It's just that Bahak Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say in this case it's a putter of Maaser Behema? Because even where the Chalukah is indeed mevurar lemafreya, that each one gets his part, nonetheless, since it's based on the diak in the pasuk of Bechor Banecha, and Bechor Banecha is similar, it has to be dumya lebincha, so bincha has to be completely, totally clear that it's borur lecha. This has to be, this is absolutely clear, this is my son. In which case, I don't have a question whether the lake part belonged to somebody else, but this is my son. Shor chavachtonecha has to be borur lecha, meaning when it was born, this is what it is. It was clearly that it was yours. And therefore, even in the end, if I hold the Yesh Breira, and now it's mivurar, you're saying it was mivurar then? No. So the idea over there is, it's not equivalent to the son at all. See, even if I hold Yesh Breira, but did I know at the time? You're telling me legally it was mivurar, so that's not the point. It's not just a question of legally mivurar. It needs to be clear to me. And it wasn't. But maybe by the Sada, in the case of Yovel, well, over there Rabbi Yochanan would be Maida. You don't need that it should be Mevurar to you. It just needs to be legally defined as a Yerusha instead of a transaction. Therefore, will not be Chayzer be Yovel. Why? Because only Mecher with the Omer Achman al-Hedah be Yovel. The Torah specifically related to purchases that are returned in Yovel go back to the way it was. Mashenk and Yerushava Matana are specifically excluded. Lo. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan has to say, you should not know that the same thing would be true about a Sada of Yerusha, that it is Chayzer B'Yovel. Why? Because I don't hold of Breira. So say, okay, so just tell me that case. Ah, Yashrinu B'Sada. So I would know the case of the Sada, that the Yerusha is Chayzer B'Yovel. I would have said that Rabbi Yochanan says Ein Breira L'Chumra. So therefore, since I'm not sure, maybe, in fact, they are L'Kuchas. Okay, so because of that, Mitzad HaSafek will redo it. But he's made it that you can't pater them from Eitz Behema. Or maybe I could say Inami. If Rabbi Yochanan would have told us that didn't buy Sada that's Chayzer B'Yovel, I would have said he's made it maybe that Yesh Breira. But why does he say you have to give it back B'Yovel? Because it has to be it has to be returned to its original status at the time that it was before, originally, meaning it wasn't before then. I would say maybe not. Maybe we should say that their din, since Yesh Breira, their din is not Kilokuchot, and they should be Chayav B'Maaser Beima because they're really Yorshim. Therefore, Tzricha, indeed we need both cases. Meitve. So we ask now Kashan, Rav Anan, and Rabbi Elazar, who hold Yesh Breira, and therefore the Mishnah has to be understood in particular ways. We ask on them from the din in Temura. It says, V'chein hashutafim shechoku, where you had a shutafut that was split, where echad natal asara, ve'echad natal tish'ah, let's say, one takes 10 sheep, and one takes 9 sheep, and 1 dog. So that means that one of these sheep was exchanged for a dog. The problem is, the Torah says, that you cannot take the value of a dog and use it for a korban. So since the guy who took the 10 tla'im exchanged one of the tla'im over here for the dog, if that's the case, the ones that are im hakelev, shigeneged hakelev rather, are asurim. You can't use any of those tla'im because they're all viewed as an exchange for that value of the dog, which is now mixed in the entire exchange. And that's also because the Torah says, don't bring the chir kelev. So since one of them was the khalifa of the kelev, so they all become osir. But the tla'im that are with the kelev obviously weren't exchanged for the kelev. So the 9 tla'im that are together with the kelev, they're all mutter. The problem is, if you're going to say yesh breira, why can't you just choose one and say, okay, this is the one I want to exchange for the kelev, and then we would say, chad min elabadi kelev, and then you take that one out and use it only for chulin, lishko, and the other ones should be mutter. But over here you're saying there's no way that I can possibly pull out one and define it as the Mechir Kelev. Amar Ravashi, tell you, if in fact all of the Tla'im were worth exactly the same, see the Shavakula La Dadi, and the Kelev's value was worth precisely 1 Tla. Okay, I could have done that. But we're talking about where they do not all have the same value, and the dog is not worth the value of any one of them. It's worth a little bit more. So the shavi haikal b'chad v'mashu. Okay, now what are you going to do? This mashu is not identifiable. Because of that, the mashu essentially spread throughout the rest of them, because I can't say it's specifically this way. Are you going to pull out one and exchange it? So hai mashu, that one is spread out through all of the other tla'im. Therefore, every one of these tla'im is to some extent keneged a kelev. That part is also for the mizbeach. The melech cannot bring this tla on the mizbeach at all.